Welcome to Manifest, hosted by international evangelist, teacher, and author Perry Stone. Enjoy unique insight into prophetic and practical truth. It's time to feast on fresh manna, so get ready to be blessed and encouraged. And now, here is your host and teacher, Perry Stone.
For those of you that have watched our telecast for about 21 years, you know that I have come to this amphitheater with our groups way back since the 1980s. And we've always taped two programs with each group, meaning that in our recent tour, there'll be two partners tapings and there'll be two tapings with our main tour of people that have come from all over the United States. When I'm here, it's really funny because I prepared 45 different messages for the tour. But since I have been here, I have preached 14 out of 37 messages without outlines. And sometimes I will wake up and the Spirit of the Lord 3 or 4 in the morning will say, I want you to think about this, and there'll be a thought in my mind. So what I did, I've learned this from the kids. We used to do the old school thing of writing things down. Now they put it on the phone. And kids are hilarious because have you ever noticed they take pictures of their food? I don't want to see your food. Okay. But that's your opinion if you want to do that. This is a serious message that will end up going into the book of Judges, because when the children of Israel were in the land, there were 12 tribes. And in the time of Solomon, Solomon held those tribes together and sent peace throughout the entire kingdom, which his father was unable to do. Solomon also built the temple, of which God allowed Solomon to build it, but did not allow David, because the Bible said that God said to David, "You're a man after my own heart, but you're now a man of blood." Now, that man of blood didn't mean a man of war necessarily, because all of Israel had to war to survive. He had killed a woman's husband to hide something he did wrong, and he became a man of blood. So Solomon built the temple. Now, when Solomon passed away, if you go to the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, you start reading, one of Solomon's biggest concerns was this: how will my son who takes over actually rule? Well, Rehoboam came in. Now, Rehoboam, he was Solomon was humble in the beginning, but Rehoboam was like this real cocky kid, had it all made. It was all handed to him on a silver platter. I mean, look, his dad built what would today be a $1 billion temple, had all the gold he wanted, and anybody that's got 300 wives and 700 concubines that lost their mind, okay, just so you'll know. So, not that he did everything perfect, okay, but can you imagine taking them people shopping? I want that pair of shoes. No, I want that pair of shoes. No, that's my pair of shoes. I mean, can you imagine taking those women shopping? Lord have mercy. So here's what I want to get to. Rehoboam met with the older people, and they said, "Your father taxed us to build these buildings. He worked us very hard. If you will lighten up on us, we'll follow you to the ends of the earth, and we'll just be faithful to you." Then Rehoboam called in the young men that he had been raised with. And you know what those kids said? "I'll forget what the old people say. You say, my daddy whipped you with whips, I'll whip you with scorpions." When he said that, he divided the kingdom. And the kingdom split between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. In other words, 10 tribes eventually go into the what's called the northern tribes. And they were actually, under the attacks of the Assyrians, were taken. That's called the scattered Jews, or the Jews scattered abroad. And right here where I'm standing, which is in Jerusalem, off with the Temple Mount behind me, is the area of the tribe of Judah, which goes this way. Bethlehem is 8 miles as a bird flies, right over those hills. That's where we're headed in a little bit. And then the other area, this direction back here, is the tribe of Benjamin. And so you had Judah and you had Benjamin. And there's a real story that connects in the book of Genesis with these two sons we won't have time to get into. What eventually happened, and the book of Judges actually bears this out, that one of the tribes in the earlier time, and this again, Judges would be back in the time of when they were settling the land. The Bible said this, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you can't run things that way, because someone will say that's right, and someone will say that's not wrong, and someone will say that's wrong, and someone will say that's not wrong to me. And you get all kinds of just really, really crazy ideas that come when people do that which is right in their own eyes. So what happened was, and I'm going to take you to this verse right here, the tribe of Dan decides to separate from all the other tribes. Now, remember this, that for Dan ended up north, right? Tell Dan. Did y'all go to Tell Dan? Okay. they ended up, now what does it mean when you live that far north? Now watch. And eventually the tabernacle, which existed then, not the temple, but the tabernacle, was in Shiloh. So it means you have to go a long way, travel a long way to get to those three festivals. So a lot of things come into play here. So here's what happens. And I want to read you this verse. In the tribe of Dan finds a priest, and they say to him, instead of you being the priest over all these tribes, why don't you come and rule over us? And they, what they did, they built a gold cow, just like their forefathers would have done in the wilderness. They built a gold cow, and they set a priest over the gold calf, and they turned the tribe of Dan into idolatry. And the tribe of Dan starts following a false god. But watch this. This is what's crazy. They're not doing the right thing, but they have an actual priest who is directing them. All right. So this is what they say. Oh, I'm about to go somewhere. Stay with me. In Judges 8, 18 through 20, they say to this man, now put your hand over your mouth and don't say anything about this. Then in Judges 18, 25, they said, now don't let your voice to be heard. About to go somewhere. So here's what's happening in the tribe of Dan. They are saying to this priest, I know you have a certain set of rules God said to live by. I know that the Torah is supposed to be what we're following. But what we want you to do is keep your mouth shut and don't offend anybody. Hello, where'd my crowd go? I don't want you to say anything about what we're doing. I don't want you to say anything about the disobedience of idolatry. You know, God said more about idolatry than anything to Israel. You can name all these other sins. It was idolatry that got him in trouble, because God alone is to be worshiped. And so he just rebukes him consistently. And so the Lord began to deal with me, and I'm going to share with you silent pulpits and fearful preachers. Silent pulpits and fearful preachers. Now, Elijah the prophet goes to Mount Carmel and calls the fire down and kills 850 false prophets of Baal. And then when Jezebel threatens to kill him and behead him, he runs 118 miles down this direction to Mount Horeb and sits under a juniper tree and asks God to kill him. Now, look, if you really wanted to die, stay at Jezreel and wait till Jezebel gets her sword. And put your head down on the block, chop your head off, and become a martyr. Come on, Elijah, what are you doing? I mean, if you really wanted to die, you'd have let the woman. But you know what? He said, I can't let a woman kill me. I ain't going to let no Jezebel kill me, but I'm leaving. So he goes down there, sits under a tree, and he says to God, I'm the only one left. Why does he think he's the only one left? He thinks he's the only one left because all the other prophets, read it, are hiding in caves. God says to him, prophet, you're not the only one. I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And I'm saying to myself when I'm reading the Bible, where are they at? I mean, I read in one section over here where there's 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave. And Obadiah, who was a godly man, borrowed money to get bread in a famine to feed these guys who were hiding. Why are they hiding in caves? Because the Jezebel spirit, which was in a woman named Jezebel, has told these prophets, if you don't do what the government tells... Oh, did I say that? If this is what they were doing. They were working for the government. So Jezebel was controlled. Oh, God help me. Now, let me be careful, Jesus, right here. I'll get myself in trouble. Jezebel was a woman who had a controlling political spirit. And she said to the people of her day, come to my table, believe what I believe, follow the false God I follow. And this is in the Bible. And I'll feed you food at my table. You'll get your government assistance if you'll vote for me. Oh, God, did I say that? I'll keep everything free coming to you, but you better keep me in power. So all those prophets, these are called prophets, are at Jezebel's table eating food in a famine while everybody else is suffering. Oh, I don't want to go there. Everybody else is suffering and everybody else has been paying high taxes and everybody else has been doing this, but no, that bunch running the place. They can do their own thing and get by with it. So what happened was this, the prophet became very discouraged But he went to Mount Carmel and he spoke up. And then later, watch this, when he got renewed in his spirit, he wouldn't be quiet. He thought about being quiet. He thought about, God, just take me on, get me out of here. But he wouldn't be quiet. And because he wouldn't be quiet, he comes back after he had a meeting with God. Do you know where he went to, by the way? Can I teach this? God says in Exodus to Moses, Moses is on Mount Horeb, called the Mountain of God. And God says in Exodus, come up to the top of the mountain. There is a place by me in the cleft of the rock. Yes. Moses saw the glory of God in a cave-like dwelling in Mount Horeb. Now, you know that back in that day, they marked places. Oh, yes. When Elijah was under the threat of Jezebel, and when he was discouraged, it's in your Bible, he went to Mount Horeb, and it happened to be the same cave that Moses had went to. Moses goes to that cave, watch this, and there's lightning, thunder, and God's voice. So here is the meekest man in all the earth, and he gets the manifestations of the, you know, fire and glory and fire on the mountain. Elijah, who's the boldest, he's way more bold than Moses is. I mean, Elijah out there chopping heads off of false prophets. And he goes to the same area, watch this, and the earth shook and God wasn't in the earthquake. And the fire came, but God wasn't in the fire. Then it says, but the Lord came in a still, small voice. Isn't it funny? But he knew where to go. He knew that when there was trouble, he had to hear from God. So he goes to the top of the mountain. So here's what I want to tell you. Elijah came back and pronounced doom on Jezebel and doom on her entire descendants. And they actually went under a curse because of how they treated the prophet. Now, what I want to say to you is simply this, that we're in a time that that I see that a great preacher, Charles Finney, wrote about a long time ago because he was a great minister in America. And Finney made this statement, if America ever falls morally and spiritually, it will be the fault of the pulpits. Now, I love preachers. I know thousands of preachers. I preach for some of the greatest pastors. And let me just say, every now and then when you hear something that's happened to someone, trust me, because I know people, they're some of the great men. For every Judas that's in the camp, there's going to be 11 people that won't back up from Jesus. For every person that does wrong, there's others that won't. So my point is, you don't judge people by other people's conditions. You don't say, well, everybody's wrong because this one's wrong. You don't say because you got a bad apple, the whole bushel is bad. You find a counterfeit $100 bill, you don't throw all your $100 bills away. And just because occasionally in the body of Christ there's been negative things happen, preachers have even talked about each other, members have done that, don't let that discourage you of following the Lord. I just want to say that to somebody who's watching me right now. But here's what I want to tell you that's very, very important. There seems to be an attitude among preachers, and a lot of these are young men who are first-generation ministers who do not have spiritual dads in their family. I came up under Fred Stone, T.L. Lowry, M.H. Kendon. You won't know these men probably. Floyd Lahan, who were powerful men of God, great men of faith and fasting. And so they knew how to align you. They knew how to teach you doctrine. They knew how to teach you how to pray. They knew how to teach you how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But first-generation men seem to think that you've got to do it a certain way by a certain path. And a lot of times, men will say, I don't want to offend anybody in my church. Therefore, I don't want you to say certain things. I don't want you to preach certain things. My dear friend John Kilpatrick, I heard the story of how he went to a church out west. And the pastor said, before we go into the place was packed. Before we go into the meeting, I need to talk to you. I don't need you to mention sin because you know that's negative. I don't want you to mention the blood of Jesus. That offends somebody. And gave him a list of three things. And John said, well, I guess I'll leave now. And the guy said, what do you mean leave? He said, you took away all my messages. And I may be telling this, paraphrasing it, but I want to tell you. So John rides in a bus. He doesn't fly in a plane. So he goes outside and the preacher said, what am I supposed to tell the people? He said, get up and tell them what you just told me. Just get up and tell them that you would not let me preach. Let me tell you something, folks. Why do we as ministers think that we can somehow make everybody happy by only preaching positive things? What you're doing is teaching people to be offended sensitive. Not seeker sensitive, but offended sensitive. And here's what will happen to that beautiful congregation of 5,000 people. One day, God will demand that you have to tell them the truth. One day God will demand for you to get up and tell them, you guys are just not right. You're all lukewarm. We need to be on fire. And guess what's going to happen? Half of them are going to get up like they did with Jesus and walk out because you've taught them how to be offended sensitive. We have a generation that has everything at its hand, but doesn't know how to stand. The old timers, my dad's generation, were called holy rollers, religious fanatics. My granddad had dynamite thrown under a tent where he was preaching. My father had people coming in trying to disrupt the services in the coal fields of West Virginia. Listen, those were the days that if you were Pentecostal or full gospel, you were persecuted to the max. They didn't believe in speaking in tongues. They didn't believe in praying for the sick. Brother Oral Roberts put up his tent in Australia and had to take it down many years ago because of the persecution from the press and people threatening him. I could tell you all kinds of stories from the 40s and the 50s. And see, the thing was this, it taught the believers how to stand. It taught people how to be strong. When I was in high school in Roanoke, Salem, Virginia, Andrew Lewis, I may have some guys watching me that went to school with me there, but I remember they used to say, holy roller preacher. And I carried my Big Dakes Bible to school every day. I wasn't ashamed of it. I'd sit in the cafeteria and read my Bible. I dared them to take my Bible from me. I said, I'll take you to court if you take my Bible from... No, well, anyway, I was getting bold. But anyway, I remember they called me Holy Roller, and I looked at a whole group of them and said, you call me Holy Roller, and what you say is true, but if you knew why I was rolling, you'd be rolling with me too. Right. Got that from Andre Crouch. So here's what I want to say. I want you to imagine this for just a moment, okay? All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I want you to imagine Joshua is waving a white flag, telling the Jerichoites, we want to just surrender ourselves to your purpose, but we want to take the promised land if you don't mind. Could you imagine, I'm going to say this, could you imagine David offering his 5 stones to Goliath? Saying, if you'll make peace with Israel and quit persecuting them, I want to turn my stones over to you and I won't do anything with you. Let us coexist together. Could you imagine Moses saying to Pharaoh, God has sent me here, but what I want you to know is this. I want to offer you this rod. This is a rod that God gave me. And I want to offer you this rod for letting the people go. No, if he'd offered the rod, he'd have had nothing to perform the miracles with. Look, I can take you through the entirety of the Bible, and I can show you where prophets were bold. John the Baptist could have saved his head if he'd have went and said, I need to apologize to this man. I told him that he married his brother's wife and he did it illegally. I am so sorry, brother, for speaking up like that because I'm going to be beheaded. But if you'll forgive me and let me go back to the Jordan River for a while, I'd certainly appreciate it. Brother, let me tell you something. You go look at Jeremiah. They put him in mud up to his neck and almost drowned him in mud. And he's down there for days. And when they bring him up to prophesy, the guy will say to them, now you just used to say the right thing to the king. Don't say the wrong thing. And Jeremiah said, when I got up and looked at these people, I decided, let God kill them all. Let God. I'm tired of them. They won't listen. He said this. They're rebellious people. They will not listen. But then I love this. When I did my Old Testament commentary, I started seeing this. This was so cool. But like a chapter or two later, he says, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. So he was saying, even though I don't like telling you this, do you know how many times I've actually preached something at a church and I'm saying, I really don't want to preach this. I really would prefer to go up there and be very nice to everybody. Preach and make everybody happy. Everybody walk away feeling good. But see, I'm responsible for people who sit under my ministry. And so if I have people over there, for example, and we know they're on drugs and they're addicted to alcohol, and I just pat them on the back and say, God bless you. We're hoping that the Lord will just bless you the way you are. It's not going to help anybody. And so I want to say this to the preachers. The pulpits have to stop being silent. I know that men depend on finances to keep their ministries going. Churches have to have the finances to keep the doors open. I well understand that. But I want to tell you, it's if you will preach and preach with the power of God, tell people the truth, but tell it to them in love. People who are hungry will flock to what you have to say. People really want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear itchy preaching. They don't want to hear touchy-feely preaching. We got enough of that. It's all over the place. People want you to look at them and say to them, here's what God can do for you if you'll believe it. They wanted someone to look at them and said, Jesus is a healer. Yeah. Jesus is a deliverer. Yeah. Jesus is a savior. Yeah. Jesus is a Holy Ghost baptizer. Yeah. Oh, he's everything you'll ever need. Amen. And so I want to encourage the people of God that when it comes time to take a stand like this, a man goes on a talk show and they ask him, do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? He's a preacher and he makes the statement, well, he is for me. Give me a break. You're just trying to make everybody happy. You need to look at the camera and say, based on the revelation of the Word of God, if every other religion could have got you to heaven, Jesus would have never come. We could have just joined any of the five. But see, there was something missing. And that missing was a redemptive covenant on how to get you to heaven and get your sins forgiven. And that's why Jesus came, to forgive you of your sins, give you eternal life, write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, give you access to Him. And so we have to understand that religion gets you nowhere. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Christianity is based on relationship. So I want to say to you that's watching me today, be bold in the Lord. Be bold in the Word. Keep preaching. Preachers, don't back up for what people say. People write me all the time, I'm not supporting you anymore. I go to the computer and found out they never supported to begin with. And I want to say in love to all of you, you don't threaten me with not supporting me because God called me, not you. And I've been doing this for 44 years. And God has blessed us and helped us to do marvelous things in those 44 years and will keep doing so as long as we follow Him and obey Him. Well, that was a little different word, and the reason I didn't get through all of it is this phone went out. So, that's how it goes. So, we're coming to you from Jerusalem, from the area of the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, and it's a joy. It's a beautiful day. The whole trip, tapings have been beautiful. Right now, we are just blessing you and asking you to stand with us. New material's coming out. Want you to get it. And also, we'll be telling you where we'll be coming to shortly. So stay tuned to Manifest. Right here from Israel. Yes. Yeah. Again. Woo. I want you to see and hear my most requested and my favorite teaching of all time, the Rapture Revelation. You can glean from 1,400 hours of detailed research on the subject of the Rapture. This 5 DVD, that's 10 hours of teaching, unlocks this mystery. Digging deep into both Testaments using Hebrew and Greek word studies, mysterious prophetic patterns, ancient Jewish customs, rabbinical insight, and early church writings to present a detailed explanation of the coming of the Lord for the church. The first DVD is titled The Rapture, A Revelation Revealed to the Apostle Paul. You will discover how this was revealed to Paul on Mount Sinai in Arabia. You will learn 8 different activities to occur at the rapture, and I will explain 8 different Greek words used in the New Testament that detail Christ's return. The second DVD is The Prophetic Timing of the Rapture. I will give you 8 examples of the righteous escaping wrath and 4 clues pointing to a pre-tribulation return of Christ. Learn how in the book of Revelation, the 24 elders, the 7-sealed book, and other imagery reveals a pre-tribulation return. I will also answer numerous controversial questions about the timing of Christ's return. The third DVD covers the subject of the rapture, Israel's feast and harvest cycles. You will discover how Israel's 7 festivals conceal amazing prophetic information about the rapture, the mystery of the shofar, how Israel's yearly harvest cycles encode the pattern of the catching away. Discover 9 events that you will experience the moment Christ returns. Also, DVD number 4 is so exciting, The Rapture and the Mysterious Book of Remembrance. I will show you from Malachi 3, a key to going in the rapture is your name being in the Book of Remembrance. You will see how being an overcomer is different from a non-overcomer as it relates to the return of Christ for the church. You will see how the Feast of Trumpets is linked with the Book of Remembrance and how the rapture is designed as a special blessing to the believer. Now, not only that, but I have included a 5th DVD, the reenactment of the Jewish wedding with 100 cast members using props and costumes, showing you not only the ancient Jewish wedding, but highlighting 14 keys of how the Jewish wedding points to a pre-tribulation return of Christ. These 5 DVDs in this beautiful album are for a donation of just $65 or more. Order by calling 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. And ask for offer RA-137. Or order online at perrystone.org. You may also order by mail by writing me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 1-800-237-3720. Again, that offer request is RA-137. You will learn a lot, so don't delay. Get your DVDs now. Hey, I trust you enjoyed the program. This is Perry Stone, host of Manifest. Thank you for joining me. And let me briefly say that the revelation of the rapture, and I know there's a lot of people who don't believe in it. I do believe after you listen to 10 hours of teaching that I did, that you will come away saying, hey, this is really going to happen. I want to encourage you. I want to show you why I believe there is a rapture of the church. I explain all the arguments. I answer all the arguments that people have about it. So get this teaching while it's available. And it's a very special rate, by the way, to get 10 hours and 5 DVDs of this teaching. We are not, as most of you know, traveling much. One is because that most of the churches are still under the corona situation of where they're having to either space the number of people that they have. I mean, some churches are having half of their attendance because, or they have to adjust a certain group comes in, a certain group goes out. The Ramp Cleveland, which has services on Tuesday, every Tuesday night, Karen Wheaton's ministry at Omega Center International Building, we have a huge hall there. So we're able to space people tremendously, get a crowd in, you know, and space them 6 feet if we need to. So there are things that we're having to adjust to, people wearing masks, people always sanitizing your hands and things of this nature. And the rumor is, and I say rumor because I don't say anything that I hear on the news is fact till it happens, but the rumor is that there is a vaccine that should be out in between October and November that should help this. And there are other things they're doing as well to try to get a grip on this coronavirus. Now, I was away from town for 30 days at a special place, and I was sometimes would wake up early in the morning and I would get downloads from the Lord on the coronavirus and how it fit into prophecy and how it fit with the connection to the Roman Empire. So I have a book coming out in October called The Final Ciphers. I want you to be looking for that. And one of the things I'm doing is not traveling as much. Even into next year, I'm not even sure how much I'm going to travel on the road. But I am going to use social media quite extensively. I'm going to do a lot of writing, going to do a lot of different types of things that, in fact, I have an idea. I don't know that no one has done this in ministry yet. I actually think it's a God idea. I'm not going to announce it right now. And the other thing is I've been working on a project. Now, a lot of you are going to laugh when you hear this, but there is someone is going to be very excited one day when they, I don't want to say too much. Let me just shut up because I'm going to announce something I don't need to announce yet till it's all ready and positioned to go. So I'll have to keep a secret. You know, I have to keep my own secret here. A fellow named Forrest Finn made a statement one time. He said, two people can keep a secret if one is dead. And so that's kind of how I am with this. But I want you to go to perrystone.org and keep up with this. Order our material. Helps keep the ministry going around the world. And also your donations to Manifest are appreciated. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2020 Israel tour. The dates are November 23rd through December 2nd with an optional visit to Petra and the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.
Expand your understanding of Scripture. Advance your effectiveness in ministry. Earn certification for your knowledge of the Bible. International School of the Word. Developed by Perry Stone and Dr. Brian Cutshall, ISO.org is the premier online Bible school with dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up for one of our exciting, affordable Bible courses and begin your journey at ISO.org today.